The Ascension, Chapter 95. We already have told you about the several appearances of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. The first day he appeared to Mary Magdalene, the women, Peter, the Emmaus travelers, and to all the disciples except Thomas. A week later he appeared to all the disciples, including Thomas. In the former chapter, we wrote about his appearance to the seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. It was the seventh time he was seen after his resurrection. Afterward, he appeared on a mountain in Galilee to more than 500 brethren at the same time. They were 500 people who truly believed in the Lord Jesus. Where did all those people come from? It is not written in God's word, but you can believe they came from all parts of the land of Canaan. They came from Galilee, Judea, Decapolis, and Perea. They went to this mountain in Galilee, which the Lord Jesus had shown them before his death. While they are gathered together, longing for his coming, suddenly the Lord Jesus stands among them. Oh, some dare not believe he really has risen. We read in God's word that some doubted. Now they must believe it, for he stands in their midst. They see him with their eyes. They hear his well-known voice, and they listen to his encouraging words, while he assures them, "With all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He, the King of Israel, reigns. He will protect and keep his people. He will preserve and care for his people. They need not fear. He will never, no, never leave them. He has purchased them with the price of his blood. O children, may you become jealous of the Lord's people." Those 500 brethren returned to their homes, but never would they forget that day. God's word also makes mention of an appearance of the Lord to James, but I cannot tell you anything about this appearance because the Bible is silent about it. In all these appearances, the Savior has shown plainly he really has risen from the dead. The Lord Jesus lives. It is no imagination. Oh no, it is a reality. These appearances are comforting for the entire Church of God. Sometime later, we find the 11 disciples in Jerusalem. They had departed from Galilee and returned to Judea. In Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus appeared to his disciples for the last time. They were gathered together in Jerusalem. Probably it was in the upper chamber where they had celebrated the Passover, but we are not sure of this. However, this we do read in God's word. He led them out as far as to Bethany. See them leaving Jerusalem. While they are on the way from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, the Lord talks with his disciples for the last time. He commands them to remain in Jerusalem. They must wait. Wait? For what? They must wait for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. The Lord promised this to them. Suddenly the disciples ask, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Do you hear this? The disciples cannot rid themselves of the thought that Christ would establish an earthly kingdom. They hope Jesus now will restore the kingdom of David. They still dream of earthly power and majesty. The Messiah tells them they must leave that to God. It is certain the kingdom of King Jesus will one day reign in full glory. This will occur in the judgment day when the entire church of God, with both body and soul, shall be acquitted of guilt and punishment. Then they shall enter into heavenly bliss and sing eternally to the honor of God. However, the disciples receive a task, a charge. They must preach in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, yes, throughout the entire world. While they are speaking about these things, and they reach the Mount of Olives, they now stand on the top of this mountain. In the valley lies the Garden of Gethsemane. Do the disciples think of the terrible night of a few weeks ago? So many things have happened since. It is 40 days since their master has risen from the dead. Silently they stand together. They do not have much time to think about those things. Jesus raises his hands over his disciples and blesses them. And then, slowly, the Lord Jesus is lifted from the earth. Higher and higher he rises. Speechless with astonishment, the disciples watch their beloved master. They watch him leave them and ascend toward heaven. Holy reverence fills their hearts. They see their King, their Savior, going toward heaven. But read what is further recorded in God's Word. A cloud received him out of their sight, which means a cloud came between the Lord Jesus and the earth, so the disciples no longer could see him. What kind of a cloud could this have been? I do not know. Some people think this cloud consisted of angels, because we read in Psalm 68, the chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. In Psalm 47 we read, God is gone up with a shout. According to these people, this was a cloud of angels which brought the King of Kings into heaven with joyful shouting. But I cannot tell you whether or not this really was so, because the Bible only tells us a cloud received him out of their sight. It surely was a joyful event, boys and girls, and when the Lord Jesus entered into heaven, he who left heaven returned not as one defeated, but as a victor. Surely the souls of those who already were dead rejoiced when their surety and king and savior, their king, came into heaven. Do you remember how the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement? Do you remember how he had the blood of a goat with him to make atonement for the sins of the people? The Jewish high priest was a type of the Lord Jesus, a type of the heavenly high priest. On this ascension day, the heavenly high priest entered heaven, not with the blood of oxen or goats, but with his own blood. Ascension day is the crowning day of the Lord Jesus. He, the King of Kings, again enters the heavenly bliss. He sat at his Father's right hand, and from heaven he now reigns over his entire church. It is true, the Lord Jesus reigns over the entire world, but he looks down in favor upon his people who are still upon the earth. God's people are not left to their own fate. Oh no, happily not. He watches over them. He cares for them. He protects them. One day he will take them to himself into eternal glory. This portion is a very difficult subject for you boys and girls, but I had to tell you something about it. Did you understand a little of it? The 11 disciples remain on the Mount of Olives. Why only 11? You know why, don't you? One of the disciples, Judas, the betrayer, is no more. The disciples look upward, although they no longer are able to see their beloved master. A cloud had taken him out of their sight. Jesus is now in heaven, and they are standing upon the earth. But even if their feet stand upon the Mount of Olives, their souls are as though they were in heaven. In their thoughts, they have gone along with Jesus. A heavenly happiness fills their souls. We do not know how long they stood there. Suddenly, they were startled. Two angels in white clothing, surrounded by heavenly glory, were standing next to them. They came with a message from their master who has just left them. When the butler in the court of Pharaoh returned to the palace of the king, he forgot Joseph. But the Lord Jesus did not forget his disciples. He knows what is going on in their thoughts. They are not grieved or mournful, no, but they have a holy longing for him. As soon as the Lord had ascended into heaven, he sent two heavenly messengers to the earth to encourage the disciples. Listen to what they say. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. It is as though the angels say, you gaze upward as though you expect your master to return at any moment. Certainly, this will occur some day. He will return upon the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. One day he will return as king and also as judge. This will happen in God's time, but not at this moment. The angels rise toward heaven, and the disciples return to Jerusalem. How do they return? Sorrowful? Discouraged? Not at all. For Luke writes they returned with great joy. By faith they could see and embrace the realization their master has gone before them. The Lord Jesus had told them there were many mansions in the house of his Father in heaven. He also had told them he would go to prepare a place for them. They believed that one day, in God's time, they would follow him. Jesus has purchased them with the price of his blood. This faith, this certain knowledge, fills their souls. Do they weep? Do they cry mournfully because their master is no longer with them? No, but with joy they return to the dangerous city, to the city of blood. Now they must go and preach. They must call to the misguided people that there still is a possibility of being saved. Undoubtedly, they already longed to do so. Ascension Day is the crowning day of the Lord Jesus. How do you celebrate Ascension Day? Do you completely forget this day? Or do you go to church to hear a sermon, and that is all? Alas, children, if it is so, you are poor children. You never have celebrated Ascension Day in truth. You do not know the true joy which the ascension of Jesus brings. Even though Ascension Day is not a Sunday, we must remember it to the honor of Him who has ascended on high. Is the Lord Jesus the center of everything to you? Is it your purpose to honor Him? Will you answer me honestly? Undoubtedly, most of you will hang your heads in shame due to the answer you must give. I do not know your hearts, but God does. Does this fill you with concern? Or does rebellion rise in your heart? Do you persist in serving the world and the devil? Then go your own way. Follow your own desire and will. I cannot stop you. But know this, Jesus will return. He will come. When? We do not know. But come, He will. And what then? Will you be able to justify those Ascension Days which you have carelessly neglected and forgotten? Think about it very seriously.